MZTV.
Welcome to Monday's show. I am Martin Zender. Welcome aboard. The first thing I want to tell you is make sure you check out the Rodney Parris Martin Zender special that was published yesterday. It's very educational. It is on the topic of holiness. So misunderstood in Christianity. Christianity assumes that holiness means of a sterling moral character. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever, because a man committing prostitution in Corinth was called a saint by who? His beer buddies? No, by the Apostle Paul. And inanimate objects were called holy. And by the way, holy and saint come from the same Greek root word, hagion. One is the adjective, one is the noun. Holy describes a saint, but it's the very same word. Some versions are consistent, and instead of saying, they use holy for the adjective and holy ones for the noun, which I prefer that, instead of saint. Or they'll use saint for the noun and saintized for the adjective. Either one is better, I believe, than making one holy and one saint, because it suggests two different Greek words, which it definitely is not. So check that out, please. It's linked below, and it's just so convincing from scripture, from scriptural context. And then Rodney, at the end of this video, tagged on MZTV 1747, which I made 4 days before I went to Lima for this surgery. I did not realize what a classic this was and what a powerful video this truly is. The name of the video was, "We Are the Only Humans on Earth Heralding This," and it has to do with God being at peace with all humanity. And Rodney edits this. He just takes out the most crucial, pertinent part of this presentation and tags it onto the end of the Zender Talk presentation from yesterday. So please check that out. Again, if you haven't seen it, check it out. If you have seen it, watch it again and send the link to your friends. Thank you very much for that. Second of all, yeah, I have good days and bad days with the pain here after the surgery. My neck is still extremely stiff. I'm getting some drainage from the suture and from the hold still in my chest. So it's just very slow. It's discouraging, but it's very slow. But I'm counting on the opinion of the surgeon in Lima, Peru, who told me that the lack of feeling that I have in my face will resolve itself. Except, like he said, I think I share with you, I might not ever feel my right earlobe again, which will be no great loss. I can live with that, but the rest of it, I could live with it, but I would prefer to be back to normal, where, you know, food doesn't dribble out of my mouth. And remember, my right cheek was reconstructed. They had to take skin from inside my mouth and rebuild my right cheek, so I'm learning to deal with that again. And so it's something I would recommend to anyone. One more thing along that, a couple more points, and we're going to get into the study today about eternal torment and about a great quote by Albert Barnes, the renowned commentator from the 1800s. I think I told you that the Florida doctor, when I got back from Peru, complimented the heck out of the Lima doctor who did the surgery. And he said, "Well, this type of cancer, we definitely prescribe radiation and chemotherapy." And you know what I think about the mainstream medical profession and their cures. But I thought, I reminded this doctor, I said, "The cancer is gone. Like, I don't have it. It was surgically removed. I'm clean." And the doctor said, "Yes, you're clean, but we still recommend..." What are you going to radiate if it's not there? In the meantime, my lovely wife Maria and I, or I should say my wife Maria, heard of this really famous man in Peru who is a nutritionist, a naturalist. He deals with cancer, and she had mentioned him. And I said, I would definitely like to see what this man has to say. Anyway, we paid some money to do a Zoom talk with this guy, and it was the best $150 I ever spent. He gave us a lot of nutrients, natural nutrients, and we have to get some of them in Peru, but many of them are available here even on Amazon.com. So we are going that route. I am not going to get a single radiation treatment from Western doctors or a single chemotherapy pill from these people who are in a business. What irritates me is I asked the doctor about the side effects of radiation. He just blew it off. But even mainstream literature talks about the side effects. It's horrible. Your salivary glands dry up. You lose your taste buds. But not to worry, most people get their taste back. Most people. Which means, if you can read between the lines, it doesn't take too much intelligence to do so. Some people don't. Sorry, but I don't want to go the rest of my life not being able to taste food. I would rather fight. I would rather prevent the recurrence of any cancer naturally by plants that God has put on this earth for the purpose of building one's immune system. And this man told me the whole cause of my problem was a compromised immune system. So it's not caused by this or that or by smoking that or by eating that or by chewing this or by being exposed to that. These were all secondary things. It was caused by a compromised immune system. It's all about the immune system, ladies and gentlemen. And so I was so happy. I mean, Maria and I gave each other a high five. We were so relieved. We are not going to go the mainstream medical route. So many pitfalls. They basically admit that with radiation, yeah, you will get cancer in 10 years again, but it's 10 years. It's just so hideous. Even in mainstream literature, they admit the many, many problems. And of course, chemotherapy is just poisoning the entire body. So not going to do it. Extremely happy about it. And so I tell you that just to maybe encourage other people. I could probably refer other people to this man in Peru. It's the best $150 you'll ever spend to have a consultation with this man if you are so inclined, if you are struggling with this problem, even if you have it. In my case, it has been surgically removed, but even if you have it, he can prevent it from occurring, and he can get rid of it if it is there. So God bless this man. God bless those who look deeply into alternative cures for these things, who understand that God built healing properties into plants, mushrooms, all sorts of things, and that the ways of the human that are deemed wise by those who deem themselves intelligent and wise are the most stupidest things on earth. And so I can't tell you how happy I am. That was the day we got back from the guy here in Florida. The day we got back, after he said, we strongly recommend, based on your type of cancer, that. And I was actually thinking of going through their program, just because once they get you in your system, you feel yourself going under. They basically tell you, if you don't do this, you're going to die. Well, it's just the opposite. If you do this, you have a better chance of dying and of spreading the cancer and of causing more problems. And as in most mainstream so-called solutions, the cure is worse than the disease in many cases. And this guy said that, you know, radiation is like a last resort. It's a last resort. I'm not telling anybody here not to do that. If you feel inclined, I'm not telling anybody not to do it. This nutritionist in Peru admitted it was a last resort. I'm not at a last resort. I'm a man who's cancer-free. What the hell are you going to radiate? What the hell are you going to poison? Okay. So there's that. And someone asked me, and I'm sorry, I've not addressed this until now. I should have. Somebody asked me, Martin, were your financial needs met? Were the money you needed to go to Peru, since you don't have any insurance in Peru, to get this surgery done and all the other ancillary expenses, were they covered? And the answer is yes, and then some. And so I thank everyone who contributed to my expenses going to Peru, paying for the surgeon, the anesthetist, and all the travel involved, and some of the medicines that I had to get, and we had to hire a nurse for a few days, and we had to rent a place. Anyway, thanks to you, the body of Christ, these expenses were met. So I do not need any more help on the medical end of things because of you. So thank you very much. I'm sorry I didn't make that clear earlier. I was a little distracted. As for the day-to-day carrying on of this work, of course, that goes on for anyone who wants to contribute to the work in general. I am always thankful for that, as the saying goes. Well, I know how the saying goes because I invented it. I never require a contribution for you to benefit from this show or to benefit from my website, but I've never turned a contribution down. So anyone who wants to make a general contribution to the work, that need continues on. But as far as specifically for the medical situation, God has met it through you. And so now that I am back in the United States, my insurance should cover any extra things that I need. I'm not sure what those things would be. I have to go back for checkups. They're going to have to take a look at this drainage thing again. And I go to today as I speak to you. You're listening to this on Monday. It's Sunday for me. And so I'm beginning the protocol, though, the protocol of natural things. I want to super boost my immune system. Folks, I have to tell you something. I considered myself a healthy person before this, but in some ways I abused my body. I did smoke. I did eat a lot of sugar, especially when I would run. I drank not to excess. In fact, when I started taking Kratom, I completely lost my taste for alcohol. But I was a little lackadaisical on that. I figured I covered myself with running. And my quote used to be, and I think this is legitimate, running covers a multitude of dietary sins. Let's just say exercise covers a multitude of dietary sins. And I believe that it does. Move it or lose it, as they say, and keep your bones strong by doing resistance training. But I didn't take it fully seriously enough. I am a changed man. I value my life more than I ever did before. Because I realized I came face to face with my mortality. I had never done that before. I knew I was mortal. I knew I could die any time, get run over by a bus on my run or something like that. But it was too abstract to really make an impression on me. This encounter with cancer made an impression on me. Thank you, God, got the message. And so I'm going to be a changed man. I sure like to get my mobility back. I'm going to have to go to physical therapy. Nobody's telling me to, but I realize that I need to. I need to have a professional shave me because I just can't handle this neck business. It's rough. Anyway, so I'm taking things more seriously. No more. Man, every time I would get emotionally upset, I would try to fix it with candy, especially with candy bars, Twix, Kit Kats, Snickers, in the latter days, Milky Way bars. Those days are gone. I'm taking specific mushrooms now, and just 8 or 9 really crucial plant extracts and things that will, that this man said, he said, your cancer can't come back if you follow this. Hey, okay, that's good enough for me. I'm going to follow it. Thank you very much. Now, on to the scriptures with what time I have left. Wild Boar, our friend who calls himself Wild Boar, on this channel's comments, he sent me a quote from Albert Barnes. Albert Barnes was a famous commentator. In fact, he was known for, let me try to find his, he was known for his commentary on the New Testament. I had him here. Where did he go? There's old Albert. Albert Barnes, theologian. Born December 1798. Died December 24th, 1870. An American theologian, clergyman, abolitionist, temperance advocate, and author. Barnes is best known for his extensive Bible commentary and notes on the Old and New Testaments, published in a total of 14 volumes in the 1830s. But when I read the following quote to you, you are going to be stunned that this man, when commenting on Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, which talk about the universality of condemnation and death via Adam, and then Paul says, thus also, through Christ, the universality to the same progeny of Adam of salvation and justification. In his commentary, he doesn't get there. He dodges it. He quotes other people. He obfuscates. Can't stand it when people obfuscate. Especially when they're named Albert. But let me read you a quote from his, and you will realize how the doctrine of eternal torment tormented him. And yet, what did he do about it? I'm not saying that a human can do something about it. Well, yes, a human can do something about it, which is read the scriptures and believe what God says. And this man couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. I believe, because I read it, I'm not going to bother reading his commentary to you. It'll just frustrate you. But I believe it was because of the pressure of the system he was in. He went to a seminary, Princeton Theological Seminary, for Christ's sake, ordained as a Presbyterian minister by Presbytery of Elizabethtown, New Jersey, of all places, and was the pastor successively of the Presbyterian Church in Morristown, New Jersey, and the First Presbyterian Church of Philadelphia, for Christ's sake. And listen to this, Barnes held a prominent place in the New School branch of the Presbyterians. Oh, the New School. What was the New School? You expressed horror at the false teaching of eternal torment, yet you didn't have the balls to believe scripture? Even when you're writing a commentary on the New Testament? Get there, Albert! But he didn't. He couldn't. I believe he was too overwhelmed by the pressure of his day. He was actually tried for heresy. I gotta give him that. Barnes held a prominent place in the New School branch of the Presbyterians during the Old School, New School controversy. Oh, the Old School, New School controversy, yes. To which he adhered on the division of the denomination in 1837. He had been tried, but not convicted, for heresy in 1836. Might have spared himself a beheading or burning at the stake or an excommunication or something of that nature, mostly to the views he expressed in notes, explanatory and practical, on the epistle to the Romans. How could anybody object to anything he said in Romans? Because I just read his commentary on Romans 5 when Paul draws the parallels so clear between Adam and Christ, and he doesn't get there. How could this be controversial? I guess the controversy surrounded the imputation of the sin of Adam, original sin, and the atonement. The bitterness stirred up by this trial contributed towards widening the breach between the conservative and the progressive elements in the church. Who cares? That's what happens when you get stuck in the church. Let me read a quote from this man. Wild Boar introduces it this way. Says, oh, that many, many Christians would be as honest as this guy. Check out this quotation from Albert Barnes. Wild Boar sent me this via email. The noted Presbyterian preacher and commentator whose conscience revolted against the awful teaching of hell. Yeah, his conscience revolted against it, but his intellect, even while reading Romans 5, 18 and 19, couldn't get there. Here's his quote. That the immortal mind should be allowed to jeopardize its infinite welfare, and that trifles should be allowed to draw it away from God and virtue and heaven. That any should suffer rolling amidst infinite torments without the possibility of alleviation and without end. That since God can save men and will save a part, that he has not purposed to save all. So there's his conviction. He admits that God will save a part, and that's as far as he could go. And his lament is that, quote, he has not purposed to save all. And his lament was, why freaking didn't God freaking purpose to freaking save freaking all? Continuing the quote, that on the supposition that the atonement is ample and that the blood of Christ can cleanse from all and every sin, yet is not in fact applied to all. There it is. That in word, a God who claims to be worthy of the confidence of the universe and to being of infinite benevolence should make such a world as this full of sinners and sufferers, and that when an atonement had been made, he did not save all the race and put an end to the sin and the woe forever. Oh, you poor guy. Go home, Albert. Read it again. Take a sedative, maybe. Have a smoke. What the hell? Run a couple miles. Come back. Read it with new eyes. Pray to God. It's too late. He already died believing in this shit. Let us go on with the quote. These and kindred difficulties meet the mind when we endeavor to urge our fellow sinners to be reconciled to God and to put confidence in him. What an admission this is. These difficulties he just mentioned torture him when he tries to urge his fellow sinners, and this is his job as a Presbyterian minister, to be reconciled to God. But he couldn't in good conscience. But this tortured him because apparently he was a freaking hypocrite because he went about trying to encourage people to be reconciled to God. Anyway, even on the back of his mind, he's saying, I can't really recommend you being reconciled to this hapless failure. Basically, operating in the back of his mind. These and kindred difficulties met the mind when we endeavored, well, when we, no, just you, Albert, you're the only one that was tortured by this. Nobody else admitted to it. When we endeavor to urge our fellow sinners to be reconciled to God and to put confidence in him. On this ground, they hesitate. That's because they're smart. Put confidence in a God who sent a Savior to reconcile the world to himself and failed? And because of some personality flaw that causes him to feel slighted by not being loved in return, will torture for eternity, will use his power not to save them, but to keep them alive and torture them for eternity. On this ground, they hesitate. No shit, because they're smart. These are real, not imaginary difficulties. Oh, yeah. They are probably felt by every mind that ever reflected on the subject. I wish that were true, Albert, but they're not. Most people just glibly and carelessly swallow their doctrine from a fast food window that they get at their church, and they never even reflect on anything. You're giving people too much credit. They are probably felt. That is, these hesitations, these difficulties, they're probably felt by every mind that ever reflected on the subject, and they are unexplained, unmitigated, unremoved. But the Scripture does explain them, does mitigate the trauma by giving the truth and removes the difficulty by teaching us that sin and death and pain and evil are all aeonian, a word that Barnes has probably never heard of because he's reading a common translation and doesn't have the wherewithal to dig into the translations to find out that the word commonly translated eternal should be translated aeonian, that these terrible things that humanity suffers under, evil, death, sin, grief, doom, are aeonian. They're temporary. But the salvation is eternal. But these other things bring people to a knowledge and an appreciation of salvation. How can you have salvation without sin, Albert? And yet, he says these difficulties are, quote, unexplained, unmitigated, unremoved. I confess, for one, that I feel them. Yeah, for one. You're the only guy. I confess, for one, that I feel them, and feel them more sensibly and powerfully the more I look at them. And the longer I live, I see not one ray to disclose to me the reason why sin came into the world, why the earth is strewn with the dying and the dead, and why a man must suffer to all eternity. I trust other men understand this better than I do. Well, I do, Albert, but there's not many of us. I trust other men understand this better than I do, and that they have not the anguish of spirit which I have. I don't have the anguish of spirit that you have because I looked at a concordance. Maybe you didn't have a concordance in 18 whatever. I'm sure you didn't. But you should have seen the nonsensical way. Well, no, you wouldn't have seen it because the King James translators were so treacherous in the way they changed ion to translate it age here, ever here, forever here, world here. That information, that crucial information would have been hidden from you. So I should cut you some slack, Albert. I really should. I really should. The longer I live, I see not one ray to disclose to me the reason why sin came into the world, why the earth is strewn with the dying and the dead, and why a man must suffer to all eternity. I trust other men understand this better than I do, and that they have not the anguish of spirit which I have. They don't understand, and they don't have the anguish of spirit because they're not as sensitive as you. I'll give you this, Barnes. You're a sensitive man. I appreciate that. I confess, when I look on a world of sinners and of sufferers, upon deathbeds and graveyards, upon the world of woe, filled with hosts to suffer forever, when I see my friends, my parents, my family, my people, my fellow citizens, when I look upon a whole race all involved in this sin and danger, oh yeah, lots of danger, and when I see the great mass of them wholly unconcerned, you should live in our day, son, it's even worse. And when I feel that God can save them, and yet he does not do it, I am struck dumb. It is all dark, dark, dark to my soul, and I cannot disguise it. End of quote. Wow. This poor tortured man. Dark, dark, dark in my soul. I wish he could have read All in All by A.E. Nock. Or Martin Zander Goes to Hell. That would have done it for him. Wild Boar finishes this way. We are pleased to announce that all of Albert's horrific perplexities and agonies regarding the ridiculous, vile, and unscriptural doctrine of eternal hell have been dealt with in a supremely satisfying manner, and the riddle solved in this most excellent study by A.E. Nock. And then he puts a link down here to A.E. Nock's book, All in All, which is a collection of writings by Mr. Nock, the translator of the Concordant Version on the topic of eternal torment and on the truth of the salvation of all. I'm going to put a link down here for you to get this book, All in All. I'm also going to put a link if you, it's a long book and, you know, quite complicated in places to read. My book, Martin Zander Goes to Hell, is very simple. It will get you the same information and it will solve the perplexities in half the time with a quarter of the effort. But either book is fantastic. Get All in All by A.E. Nock or Martin Zander Goes to Hell by yours truly. And may your mind, unlike that of Albert Barnes, be at peace.